Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today, I am bringing back another returning co-host for you all. She's been a popular co-host because she's quite knowledgeable in nutrition. Specifically, she's literally like works as a sports nutritionist. And we've had her on multiple times before because she's a part of the organization known as Mind of the Athlete. And a quick rewind for you guys is, if I go back here in my records, she and I did a joint episode on our 50th. That was with her and Dr. Megan Cannon, a sports psychologist from that same team. But if you go back even earlier than that, she was episode 38 as well, where we talked about nutritional balance to help kick off 2017, because we aired that one on January 6th. So you guys can go back and look at all this stuff. But also, if you search for her name, once I give it to you, she's also on episode 65, where we talked about our false healthy halo. And it's kind of funny that I bring that up today because she and I were just chatting before I kicked off the recording, and we might end up diving back into this whole false healthy halo thing a little bit here because, like I said, guys, she knows nutrition, okay? She's got a degree in nutritional science, and she's also got a specific certification in metabolic efficiency training. So the girl knows her stuff. So without further ado, welcome back to the show, Erin Sparrow.
Hey, Scott. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being back, and congrats on the Ragnar, because, again, for those of you guys who listen to the podcast, I do have some YouTube content, and she's wearing a hot pink Ragnar. What do you call those types of hats?
It's a visor.
It's a visor, yeah. So I did a Ragnar back in 2011 in Arizona with my old fire buddies.
Oh, the Del Sol.
Well, wait.
Yep.
Was it Del Sol? Yeah.
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 And I had the really cool long chrome metal. They still
it's
do that style? It's a bottle opener? Yeah.
Yeah.
the nicest bottle opener I have in my collection. So.
Right?
Actually,
walk into a bar with that and you get some respect.
Well, I've never used it. It's still on the lanyard in my, I have a box of medals. I don't even really have them. I think the only thing hanging on my wall, that's from the tour de Tush I did 2 weeks ago for colon cancer. And
well,
Spartan, and I don't know. There's some other half marathon thing there hanging there. I don't know. The old medals from Living Out West are still in a box somewhere. So
gotcha. Fair enough.
But welcome back. We have
Thanks.
Not been able to catch up. We actually missed May. It's been a crazy busy spring.
Yep.
And I'm just excited to bring you back because for our newer listeners, guys, like, we geek out a lot on health and wellness because obviously, here on Live the Fuel, we talk about health, business, and lifestyle. And having a nutritionist to come on to reinforce the stuff that I spew out of my mouth, it's nice because she's got the degrees to back it up and the 20 years plus of experience. So I love bringing on Erin. And thank you again for making the time. And congrats on the flashy headset.
Thank you.
Yes.
I feel so official.
Right? Don't you feel like a little bit more professional? Oh, real
totally
quick.
Do.
For our listeners, here's the rest of your stuff.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
I got another headset coming your way. And
Very
I got these
cool.
nice zipper up cases that it'll fit into to protect the headset. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, very cool. Thank you,
So
Scott.
I'll be heading down to Bethlehem if... Is there anybody in your office today?
No. Actually, you know what? Meg is there for a little while.
I don't know.
It's vacation time.
Yeah.
People are in and out right now. It's a summertime slows down at the office.
Okay.
A little bit.
Well, yeah. I got the stuff. So, and it's there for you guys. So
very cool.
I decided to choose you both real quick, and we'll get into the show, guys. So this is just real good podcasting right now. But we all, a quick rewind for the newer listeners. I literally ran into Dr. Megan at a Starbucks, because that's like my secondary office, or third or fourth or fifth. And she just happened to overhear me recording with one of our past co-hosts, which I got to get him on again, Brian Strausser, with his own life story and transformation. And he's actually on the injured list, man. Blew his knee up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's not happy right now.
No,
so, but he and I had a really opening mindset related podcast. She was there working on one of your events that you guys do with one of the local CrossFit gyms. And we ended up connecting and bringing her on. And then I got to learn more about you guys and then got connected with you. And it's just been a spiraling thing. So you two have been the more consistent regular co-host because you guys don't go on, to my knowledge, a lot of other podcasts. So,
no, we really don't. Mm-mm.
And this is a great way to get your brand out there, but also to get your knowledge out there in a different way, because I know you ladies travel all over the country. But I love being able to give this to our listeners, guys, because again, when Megan comes on, she's a sports psychologist. So we talk a lot about mindset and psychological health. But then Erin is like the perfect dynamic duo because she dives into the nutrition and the health and the wellness piece of it. And I geek on this.
And the two, the mental health component and the physical health, they for so long in our society have been separated and treated as two totally different things, but they absolutely 100% play into each other. Vitamin deficiencies fuel depression. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times people are putting on antidepressant medications, but really if you addressed things through lifestyle and nutrition, they wouldn't need the medications. Yeah. So that's why some people always will, I get asked a lot, why are you a sport nutritionist with a sports psychology company? I'm like, because
they
absolutely play in together. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We're talking about this because, and real quick, for anybody who's actually on the video feed, respect to Erin because she's a beautiful woman and a professional.
Well, thank
and
you.
She stepped up after a workout to join us on the show today. So obviously I always feel a little concerned because I'm like, oh, my bad. I didn't know that you ladies care that much because you're a sports nutritionist and you work with athletes. So it's not a big deal. This girl rolled in after a workout and she was all sweaty and she's got her cool Ragnar hat on and we're just getting all sporty together. So
gosh, I practice what I preach. So I guess I'm legitimizing my message a bit here.
Well, but that's my point though. Real quick on the marketing piece. That's the beauty of this is like people need to get past the physical and realize like you can't always look awesome. Like the one photo I'm looking at with you and I, when we did the selfie for episode, 65 at the Starbucks, your hair is down, you're all done up nice. You know, me, I'm all scruffy with a beard and my GORUCK hat on from the GORUCK event that I did. So it's like, you look better than I did there. So,
thanks.
So I'm just trying to catch up.
That's okay. We're good.
But you know, today's episode all of a sudden took a turn because we've been trying to follow up and do something on labeling. Mm-hmm. And I've had a number of people, including Brian, say, hey, man, you guys really need to get like a labels or reading labels or understanding labels as far as food, product, shelving, stuff like that. I'm like, that would have to be a series.
Okay. Yeah.
And you and I were just talking about how I would really like to do a live one in the store and do something like that. But you brought up something very interesting. As we're recording this, today is... And for transparency to our listeners, guys, like I do this stuff real time. Like this will go out later this week. So this is June 19th, a Monday. I'm going to air her episode right away on Friday because I want this stuff to stay fresh and real. And you brought up something very concerning right now regarding coconut oil.
Yes.
So let's wrap about that meat, that MCT, medium chain triglyceride. Yeah. Like what is coconut oil is going to save the world?
Irresponsible journalism.
Yeah. What's going on here? Because this totally relates back to that Healthy Halo episode.
Yeah, it does. You know, the general population gets their nutrition information from media, from social media, from magazine, and it can be very misleading because oftentimes you have journalists writing articles that don't really know what they're writing about. They do the interviews and fair enough to journalists, you know, a lot of times you get people who know their stuff and they're doing a really good responsible job. But there was an article that just came out this past weekend in USA Today, and the American Heart Association has released a review on coconut oil, and the title of the article was "Coconut Oil Isn't Healthy, It Never Has Been," is basically the title of the article. And again,
I'm bringing that up as you speak, and I'm going to share it for the video feed. So you'll be going off of live video.
Okay. So it's concerning to me because the American Heart Association, you know, they've not been a stellar source of reputable information in the past. They are the association that backed and encouraged the low fat diets from the 80s and 90s.
Which was created, what is the gentleman that was influencing the government back then, that famous...
I'm bad with remembering names.
Yeah. But anyway, that guy just, and the funny thing was the guy didn't even practice what he told and influenced and created all the governmental change. Like he was still out there eating steak and butter and everything else. Yeah, and he was telling everybody the opposite.
Yeah, and the people that are in charge of putting out these reviews, they don't always, when you have an organization like this, there's sometimes, conflict of interest stuff happening. And that can, I think, is happening to a degree. But in my opinion, the bigger problem is the fact that the American Heart Association is still hammering the saturated fat as the problem. And they came out saying coconut oil is not good for you because it's the highest in saturated fats. But we have seen the University of Cambridge released a review of 76 different studies. And that review, basically, their conclusion was that we really can't assume saturated fats are what's driving heart disease.
Well, and real
And it
quick, you just threw
has
out a
been
word
crumbling.
there. You threw out assume. That's part of this issue here, is that they claim to be backing this up with science, but you're not putting
We need
all
to
the
take
science out there.
it, that's exactly it. You need to take a step back, and this is where the population gets confused. I mean, it gets confusing for those of us that are actually reading the science because there can be conflicting research, but you have to take a deeper dive into that research. You have to look at what were the dietary controls. You have to look at the statistics. You have to look at so much more than just the conclusion. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with articles like this and review, sometimes people are just looking at the conclusions and they're not looking at the bigger picture. And some other research that's out there is, saying it's people who have high of the bad LDL cholesterol in absence of metabolic syndrome don't have as high of an instance of heart disease as people who have high cholesterol along with metabolic syndrome. And what the metabolic syndrome is high blood pressure, as well as insulin dysregulation and insulin resistance. So really, and where we're seeing the biggest consistency is with the blood sugar regulation. So if you have high bad cholesterol in conjunction with the insulin dysregulation and the sugar dysregulation, that's really where the heart disease is coming from. That doesn't mean the high cholesterol is completely innocent and totally not a problem, but it's more of a problem when you have it in conjunction with the insulin dysregulation.
Well, the frustrating
So
piece for
that's a,
like people that aren't at your level, right? They're not at your level. They're not at the doctoral level
I'm not a
either.
doctor.
Well, no, but let's be real. And this is part of the issue, is that people feel like, oh, I mean, you and I have talked about this before too. The average doctor, even heart doctors, don't know anything about nutrition unless
And
they've
even the
chosen to
heart
study
doctors,
it.
they don't. And there's even a lot of heart doctors are still disagreeing on this because the research is still evolving. And so when you get a position stance like this from the American Heart Association that doesn't take into account the broad spectrum of all the research that's happening, it just confuses the public more. And now everybody's saying, well, coconut oil is bad because it's high in saturated fat. And that link right there, that saturated fat is bad, oh, it's just exacerbating because we need our saturated fats. We need this information. We need them in our diet. How much you have. Well, maybe there's an implication there, but from what I have understood from other research that I've seen, it's the saturated fats. If your liver is processing, if your body's metabolizing saturated fats, at the same time it's processing refined carbohydrate, you get a higher instance of the bad cholesterol. And even that's becoming debatable. Is it the LDLs that are really indicative of heart disease, or is it a smaller particulate called a VLDL? So we really don't know everything yet, and it's so confusing to the general public for somebody like the American Heart Association to be making these position stances and to have them then reported in the media with just such a small piece of a much bigger puzzle. It leads to so much confusion.
Well,
I deal with it every day at my clinic, every day.
and I'm bringing up a screen share again because I've had on the famous Dr. Jack Wolfson. And real quick, for your benefit, I don't know if you follow him, but he is their brand's called the Doctors Wolfson because he met his wife, who is a wellness practitioner, chiropractor, all of that. And she changed his life. He was a part of a huge heart, specialty company with like tons of heart doctors and heart surgeons and all of that. And he left because he realized that he wasn't fixing the problem. It was drugs and surgery. And yes. So he published a best-selling book called The Paleo Cardiologist.
Okay.
And his website that I'm sharing right here is them. Mm-hmm. And obviously the book is powerful. And he shows lots of rich vegetables here. You will love his book. And in response to that coconut oil article, they literally published a new blog post yesterday.
Good.
The conspiracy against saturated fat. His first sentence here, he says, "Have you heard the latest study showing coconut oil increases heart attacks?" That's right. You haven't, because it doesn't, and there is no such study. And this is coming from a board, you know, certified, you know, a guy who's been a cardiologist for over 20 years, and he's a heart doctor, and he's putting this out there. Guys, like, it's wrong.
You know, and people just trust the idea of the American Heart Association. And I wish, I mean, I just, it's very, very frustrating. But having people produce, blogs like this and countering information is so helpful, because it helps. If people decide to take a deeper dive and look further, they can find more information. They can find other research reviews. The University of Cambridge, like I said, did a great job researching like the effects of saturated fat on heart disease. But seriously, the general public is going to see that one thing in Facebook, that one picture, and they're going to go, "Oh, coconut oil is bad, saturated fat's bad."
Well, and let's be real, they have been led to believe, we have been led to believe, that these organizations like the AHA are there to protect us. And actually, he puts it right here in his article. I highlighted it. "We can blame the fake news on corporate America. It's actually the corporations who control the lobbyist groups like the AHA." He's like, what people don't understand is they actually are
a conflict of interest.
Yeah, they're a lobbyist group. They're not actually, and I don't get all governmental, but this is just the truth. They collect, he has it right here. He's like, they collect nearly $1 billion every year to push the agendas of big pharma and big agriculture, because they're the ones who are, you know, footing the bill.
Yeah, and they have a labeling program, again, to the food labels, where it's the American Heart Association check that food producers can have on their product, and that leads people to believe, oh, this is healthy for my heart. They had chocolate milk that had a check on it. They had almost
how much sugar's in that?
Cola. You know, and the whole thing, their standards for developing or giving out or handing out that check was the level of cholesterol. So really, I mean, and let's face it, these food manufacturers have a vested interest in getting that check on their product. And when they have a vested interest, money gets involved. Mm-hmm. And they're a lobbyist group, not a research organization. It just snowballs into not so good stuff.
Well, so for our listeners who may agree or disagree with what you and I are talking about here, we're just trying to build...
It's controversial in all fairness.
It's totally controversial. Yeah. So how do we, as professionals, because like I take some responsibility here. I tell people, like, listen, it's a podcast, okay? This is free content. In the end, you as a responsible consumer have to do your own research and do your, you can't hold Aaron accountable. You can't hold me accountable. We're having a conversation and we happen to be sharing it online. We're not saying that we're heart doctors. We're not saying that we're scientists. We're just providing years of our own self-education, which actually is backed by other research and other people like Dr. Wolfson and other people out there. So like, how do you, Aaron, I guess, put this type of education out there to your own clients and your own relationships? Because you're influencing collegiate athletes and other people moving up in their age and their world, and they have to understand this stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's a really, really great question, because these trends that happen, and in all fairness, there was a great big huge trend that happened with coconut oil where it became the magical fix-all for everything, and I think that was overblown. So my biggest drive is to get people away from the extremes, thinking something is all good. Okay, let me take one step back from that. Take a whole food, a natural, minimally processed whole food. If you view it as in an extreme as all good, 100% good, eat as much of it as you want, or all bad, stay away from it. No, there's so much more truth in the gray area. You know, water is bad for you if you drink too much water. So it's really about finding that right balance. And, you know, people got this idea that coconut oil was super good for them. So they were eating it by the tablespoonful because they thought that was going to help them lose weight. Well, no, because now you're over consuming too many calories, but the oil's good for you, but you're still over consuming calories. So people tend to get these ideas and the marketers feed into it that, oh my gosh, coconut oil is good for me. I'm going to eat as much of it as I can.
Well, and let's be real quick though.
Pull away from that to find balance.
The caloric conversation. Please define what a calorie is.
Well, you know, I mean, and honestly,
isn't the simplest version, it's a unit of heat measurement. Right?
It's a unit of heat measurement, the amount of energy it takes for your body to burn a certain gram of carbohydrate, protein, or fat.
And it frustrates me because I tell people, like, listen, without me being you, I'm not the sports nutritionist. I just have years of experience of me doing this to myself and trying to help others get healthy. Mm-hmm. I've taken it as a personal accountability to study this stuff. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is I would never go back to school and get a nutrition degree because, and you can back this up, because they're teaching all the wrong crap that's still influenced by AHA and everything else. Like, you've literally had to, you had to build your professional knowledge above and beyond what you even learned in school.
Yes.
At a whole different level.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You get a great foundational science knowledge, but I've had to, and it's evolved. I mean, I got my degree over 20 years ago and it has absolutely, the science has evolved and you just have to stay involved in it to follow that progress.
It's a foundation. That's about it. And you have to stay. And I guess I don't want to beat up on the government too much. They thought they were sharing the right information.
Heart, I do believe that they think they're doing kind of the right thing. I do think that there is some conflict of interest. I don't think they're trying intentionally to hurt people. Mm-hmm. And I do also have a degree of respect for moving a little bit slower, not jumping on trends because trends happen. I have a degree of respect for that. Let's wait and see what happens with multiple research studies instead of just jumping on one research study and claiming it as truth. We need to, research has to be repeatable. Science has to be reviewed by people who understand research methods. All that stuff has to happen. So I kind of appreciate that slower moving that can happen with some of these government agencies because it fights that frenetic trend that can happen. But back to your point with calories, you know, it's one of those, I don't even have my clients count calories. No, I don't personally.
It's the quality.
It's the quality of the nutrition matters. However, if they're still over consuming high quality, their body's going to store it.
Well, so let's be real though. If you, what you're talking about,
mystification off of the calories, but if they're not losing and they're over consuming and they have, cause some of that's food behavior driven, not just. So then I bring it in, but I'm going to tell you, I bring calories into maybe 5% of my conversations with my clients.
I will tell you, it is really hard for me to overeat when I put the good quality stuff on my plate. When I say that,
absolutely.
I mean, granted, I'm that guy that'll make a 5-6 egg omelet, but I'm pretty damn full because of that rich, healthy fat and protein content.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you have the right balance of fats and proteins in your meal, it makes it very hard for you to overeat because hormonally your leptin and ghrelin levels are not getting all shocked and thrown off, which is what's happening to everybody else who's eating the processed sugar-filled crap, whole clean food, balanced fats and proteins. Your body's getting what it needs and it's like, wow, I'm full, I'm satiated. But if I'm just going to eat a giant bowl of fruit, that's not going to satiate me. I'm going to get a big sugar spike too. Like, again, everything, you got to balance this.
Yeah, 100%. So, but there's always that, I think that's where kind of coconut oil sort of came into it, and to a degree, in my opinion, with some of my clients, I saw them over consuming too many calories because they thought this coconut oil, consuming it, forcing themselves, quite honestly, to consume more of it because they thought it was going to help them lose weight.
So then
it did kind of tip into the, well, it is good for you. The medium chain triglycerides do process differently. However, if you still over consume, your body's going to store it. So let's work it into your diet in a way that works, because that's where getting people away from the extremes is really important, because they stop listening to their body. They think something is really good for them, so that they end up over consuming it, and it tips the balance in the wrong direction.
Well, like with coconut oil,
important.
From a cooking aspect, because you've done a little, cooking events and stuff that I see on social media. So if anybody listening to this in the Lehigh Valley area of Pennsylvania ever wants to be around the Bethlehem area once in a while, she posts some stuff up there. I've seen you at the olive oil event and stuff at the olive oil store. But like a quick lesson on oils. The reason why coconut oils, and you can correct me on this, the reason why coconut oil, and especially olive oil, is a much better oil to cook with is because it has a higher heat threshold. So it's not being converted to the bad triglycerides, right? Which is, am I using the right terminology here?
The fats oxidize. And when the fats oxidize at a higher heat, then they become more damaging to your system, more pro-inflammatory.
Which the gentleman who influenced the AHA and everything else many, many years ago, and then also I'm not ripping on vegans. I have friends that are vegans, but the lobbying party behind the vegan and vegetarianism pushed to remove animal-based fats from fast food fryers, and they replaced them with healthy vegetable oils. Well, where's the heat threshold on a vegetable oil? And I know you're exhaling, but you can also answer this, because vegetable oils are not safe for that for high temperature cooking.
Yeah, and they're also just more prone. They encourage more of the inflammation process in your system. So they're not a healthy substitute. And a lot of times too, that they were hydrogenated vegetable oils on top of that, which is
They've already processed. They were heavily processed.
Yeah, some very, 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 very direct links between hydrogenated oils and heart disease. Very, very direct links.
And let's be real. And actually, Dr. Jack Wolfson does a great job in his book, and he did it on our podcast together. He's like, listen, healthy fats, healthy medium chain triglycerides, think of them as like a lubricant or like motor oil instead of in your car, but they're in your vascular system, right? The fats are a lubricant, like that keeps things moving. So if you think about it, how is fat creating plaque, right? That's clogging up your vessels and triggering heart attacks. He said your plaque, or the stuff that's triggering clogging, that is a inflammatory response. It's inflammation. That's what plaque really is. He said, it's not, I'm eating fat, so fat is clogging my arteries. Like, no, that's completely back-ass words.
Well, and the issue comes in when you have damage done to your arteries. Whenever there's damage done, and having sugar, let's use sugar, having sugar floating around in your bloodstream is like having a bunch of little shards of glass floating around in your bloodstream. It scrapes, it's damaging, it's abrasive. So your body wants to get it stored away quickly.
Let's relate that to, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, so I'm really bad at this. There's a cigarette company that's like green and white in their colors. Oh man, you probably never smoked either. You're a health nut like me.
Yeah.
They weren't Parliament. I don't know. Whatever. They literally designed the cigarettes and put micro particles of fiberglass into the cigarette. So when you inhaled, they would slice at the very, very small level, but they would literally cut you.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, but like not in a bleeding way, but you do this over a few years and see what happens.
Into your lungs and your trachea.
It got you the nicotine into the system faster. Like we all know, you know from tasting and eating food, the fastest way for a nutrient to absorb into your bloodstream is through the salivary glands and in your mouth. That's why I recently had on the guys from Pure Vitamin Club. They just came out with a sublingual, completely pure B12 vitamin. And he actually says the best way to absorb B12 is either through an injection or sublingual. Because once it gets into your digestive tract, a lot of people, including the founder of that company, the way his GI was after him surviving cancer, he can't absorb B12 in his intestines. So he was taking tons of B12 regimen and it wasn't doing anything. He needed to come out with a sublingual. So my whole point here is that you're funny, you're bringing up these little things like sugar that's like injuring us. It's like, it's the same, literally, it's the same thing in the cigarette world too, man. So it's not healthy.
Yeah. So what people do just blows my mind.
And that's why we're so adamant about cutting the sugar, because here's the other thing. When you strip fat, fat is flavor. When you strip fat out, what do the companies do to make the stuff taste better?
Well, they add sugar and salts, which I'm not as opposed to the salts as much.
Oh, salt moderation, as we're athletes, dude. I sweat a lot of salt. Okay. Yeah. Trust me, like my, when I did that, the Tour de Touche last weekend, it was a metric century 60 plus mile ride for colon cancer in men. Mm-hmm. And so obviously the whole name of it is they want you to go get a tour of your tush to make sure you prevent colon cancer. I love the play on words.
That is, yeah, it's very clever.
It was very clever. Yeah. He's a local dude. This was all local event here in Allentown with the cycling community. But anyway, the point was, is that, I mean, they talk about all of this. And they talk about that, and they talk about, it's like, guys, like, the sugar is not the answer at all, at all. You got to cut it. You got to reduce it.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a disease driver. And getting in those healthy fats so that you can change. So when you do the damage, you get inflammation. But if you're not consuming the right kinds of healthy fats, your body's inflammatory response is different. It's more exaggerated. You get into these cascades, these biochemical cascades. If you don't have healthy cell membranes, when they get damaged, you get this really exaggerated inflammatory response. And that inflammatory response in your arteries, that means narrowing in your arteries. Mm-hmm. And then your body sends these plaques and cholesterols to start to kind of act like a band-aid on the wound.
Yeah. And well, the body's a powerful machine. It can heal mm-hmm. itself. But if you're constantly bombarding it with what you're talking about, the repetitive sugar intake, which is repetitively injuring the vessels over and over and over again, that is the plaque buildup because your body doesn't know any better. It's like, dude, I'm going to keep trying to patch like the potholes in the road, right? I'm going to keep trying to patch and patch and patch. And then eventually, what does the road company come in and do? I'm relating this to civil engineering and our local government, but like they're going to come in and grind the whole street down and resurface it. Because they've layered it so many times with patchwork that it's a mess. Well, mm-hmm. it's kind of like we're trying to relate that here to your own blood vessels. Like, guys, like you need a clean slate, man. Like, you got to reset because your mm-hmm. body can only repair for so long and then you're going to have problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's a power. We have a really powerful endogenous ability to heal. However, we have to give our bodies the power to do that. And they get the power to do that from the foods we choose to consume. So we can absolutely 100% build health and healing into our bodies with the foods that we consume. So it's powerful, powerful stuff. But it's a confusing message to the general public defining what is healthy, because food marketing, rapid turnover journalism, all this stuff just confuses everybody.
So to reduce confusion, and real quick for our video feed people, I'm actually showing you the beautiful Erin Sparrow on the website. That. Make sure you check her out at mindoftheathlete.com. They got profiles on all the doctors, and including obviously her as their nutritionist. But like this girl doesn't mess around. She gets out there, man. She's out, like there's a photo of her doing a nice educational session at the grocery store. So on this point of reducing the confusion.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you and I are literally trying
fear.
To.
Oh my gosh, reducing the fear of food. People are so afraid of food.
That's
sad.
A great point. Yeah, fear. I can't believe I skipped over that. Thank you. So what do? I mean, you and I are trying to go up against the power of incorrect media like USA Today. Mm-hmm. People read a lot of USA Today, and that's just one publication.
Yeah.
So like, how do we help our listeners, man? Like, how can we like get them on the right track?
You know, just like you said, being out there, informing people, being a part of it, sharing your knowledge, sharing your passion, but also taking the time. And this is a really important thing that I think I've learned over the years as a practitioner, but taking the time to listen to your clients. Don't bombard them with more information. Stop and listen to them and hear where their confusions are coming from. Help them find the tools that they need to start applying healthier paradigms to their lives and not coming at them. We've talked about this before, Scott, not coming at them with this is a perfect diet.
Yeah.
Coming at them with where are you at? And let's move you along the continuum one purposeful step at a time. So this becomes a manageable, sustainable lifestyle. You can't go from zero to 180. You just can't. You've got to build people up. It's overwhelming. So,
Let's also be real.
Taking the time with your clients.
To your point, when you listen to your clients as a practitioner, or people that I coach with my side nutrition business, I'm like, guys, like, and I've had to learn this over the years too. Like, I came in from the tough, hard approach, and I still am. I'm like, guys, like, I don't coach everybody because I don't have the patience. I want
it's
people.
It's hard when you're passionate about something.
Yeah, I want people that are committed as much as I am because I'm like, in the end, it's not about me. It's about you. Like, mm-hmm. I can't make you be committed. I'm just here as a resource to help you along your path and your goals and what you want. That's mm-hmm. all we are. So mm-hmm. you got to own this. You got to take some accountability. Now, granted, I'm always teaching people, like, guys, I support everything you've said today. Whole food? Absolutely. Now, granted, let's look at our farming practices over the past 20, 30 years. Yeah, okay, the whole food's not what it used to be.
It's
so
not,
there, I do support some supplementation.
Yeah, so. I do 100%. And let's face it, even people like us that try our very best and we're very intentional with our food choices, we're very intentional with our lifestyle choices, we are still probably missing the mark on some micronutrients. Yeah. And getting that supplementation in is important because our bodies are under different biological stressors. We're under different biochemical stressors that we weren't under for years. And
different lifestyle.
The density of the nutrients in our food has changed because our food gets its nutrient density from soil. Mm-hmm. The soil's nutrient density has been diminished over the years, so our foods don't have the same nutrient density. So we need to be supplementing. Yeah. I absolutely wholeheartedly 100% back and support supplementation. However, I've said this before, I'll say it 1,000 times, you can't out-supplement a bad diet. You
That's
100%
true.
Have to start with the diet.
Yeah, and vitamins and supplements are not supposed to be a band-aid. They're supposed to be an added value. They're supposed to help build, like, you're supposed to be filling in the gaps of a great diet.
Yes.
Not, oh, I'm going to keep eating my Burger King or my McDonald's or what Arby's or Taco Bell.
But I took my fish oil, so it's okay.
Yeah, like real quick, I'm not to rant on Taco Bell, but I'm like, okay, now they're advertising breakfast food. I'm like, I'm not going to Taco Bell for my eggs and bacon, dude. I don't even know where you guys are sourcing that from. Ain't happening. Yeah. Like, if you can't wake up and make yourself your own egg, you got a problem. Like, that's faster than going into a cupboard, pulling a box of cereal out, which is manufactured crap. Which, by the way, quick lesson, guys. Cereal. Oh, it's vitamin fortified. I'm like, okay, well, so what you're saying is they've manufactured a bunch of grain into a cereal, and because it's not vitamin rich, they literally spray it with liquid chemicals to fortify it, and you think that's healthy food. Well, okay, or I just go crack a couple of eggs.
I can't wait to do a grocery tour with you, right? Absolutely.
Right?
And maybe if you have time, throw a handful of spinach in those eggs.
Oh, darn. That's
that nutrient density.
Aaron, I don't know. That's a lot of work. I mean, I literally want to do a stopwatch one day because I know one of my buddies who's got that big podcast, Fitness Confidential, he's done that. He's like, listen, you start, go to the fridge, pull your milk or whatever you want out, your almond milk. Then you go to your cupboard and you get your bowl and your spoon. And then you go to your other cupboard and you get your cereal. He's like, in the time you've done all that, put it all in the bowl, put everything away, and then start eating your breakfast. He's like, I've already got fried eggs in a pan. You know, it's like, it's not, you crack a couple shells, you throw it in the pan, you're done. I mean, it's not rocket science.
Or even this, how about you hard boil them?
Even better, yeah. I just did a pot. I do a dozen at a time. I have a perfect pot. It holds a perfect dozen eggs. I have a fresh dozen eggs every single week. What I do is when I go buy my eggs, mm-hmm. I buy enough that I need for the next week or two. And then I always have that extra dozen. And mm-hmm. that sits in the back of the fridge. And I let that wait at least a week.
Yeah, so it can be.
Right? Because you don't want too fresh of an egg. Then the shells will stick.
Yeah.
So another little life hack for you guys for hard-boiled eggs.
Rock your world. Dr. Cannon, like, blew my mind. She bakes them in the oven.
Yeah, in muffin pans.
Yes.
Yeah, I know about
Rocked
that one.
Rocked my world. Yeah,
you didn't know about that one?
Well, I do now because Meg hooked me up. But
so if you don't want to boil, see, for me, it takes longer for me to preheat the oven than it is to get a burner going. But it's a great, if you don't want to boil and you want to try the baking method, it is that easy. You're throwing an egg in a muffin tray and mm-hmm. you're done. It's mm-hmm. not rocket science, guys.
And you can do that in like 15 minutes easily on a weekend in your advanced prep, easy, healthy protein, grab and go breakfast or even snack.
Well, that's why I remind people too. I'm like, once you bring your water to boil, the perfect hard boil for me is a 12 minute on the burner. Like once that water comes to boil, you turn it off, you put the lid on and you let it sit on that burner. And that retained heat continues to cook the egg for 12 minutes. I will say the only mistake I've made is like I walk away and then I forget about it. And that's like a half an hour later. And then it does overcook the yolk a little bit. They get
a little green.
Yeah. So
that doesn't, It's a nutrient dense. Yeah. You're okay. Yeah.
Well, my now fiance has criticized my
Green eggs.
Yes. She's like, well, seriously, what do you do the eggs?
Seuss. Huh? Just pull out the Dr. Seuss.
I've tried. I just realized, I was like, look, she brings it up as I'm multitasking too much. And I was like, you know what? I will take that coaching. I will take that coaching. I'm probably trying to do too much. I need to respect our hard-boiled eggs. But like, let's be real. Everything we're talking about here today, how about the egg? Isn't the egg one of the most perfect foods? It's not, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty darn good little health nugget.
But Aaron, there's fat and cholesterol in there.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Isn't that bad?
No. No. And you know what? Fair enough to American Heart Association. They have recanted on demonizing eggs and they've pulled back from it, but they still only say two a day.
They've recanted, but did they release a big article like they just did on the coconut oil thing to announce that they rescinded that? No, they just went and took it off the website.
Oh, so
they didn't release any new big publicized articles saying, hey, we've changed our mind. It's okay to eat eggs again. All they did was go online and change their website and remove all the articles that was like damaging about eggs. That's what pissed me off. Cause when a buddy of mine told me that, he's like, oh yeah, well the AHA has changed their position on that. I'm like, well, where was the news article on that? He's like, well, they didn't really publish it. They just kind of made the changes to the website and then just would hope that eventually that'll just trickle out there. I'm like, that's kind of a big change. Why wouldn't you announce that? And he said, well, honestly, because it would probably, they're so worried about their position and how they look, they don't want to look like they were wrong. And I'm like, you know what? Guess what? We all make mistakes.
Oh my gosh, especially in science. It evolves. Yeah. Our understanding of human physiology, we don't know everything. Digestive physiology, nutrition, interacting with disease, we don't know everything. And we're not going to know everything probably in our lifetimes. It's going to continue to evolve as research methods evolve and our understandings of disease evolve. So it's fair enough. I have more respect for scientists who evolve with it. And if the American Heart Association is worried about being embarrassed, that is...
No, if anything, they need to be on the forefront of getting us up to date and saying, hey guys, I know we were here before, but listen, we've done the more research and look, hey, check it out. Guess what? We were wrong, but we're spending that $1 billion a year on making sure that we're getting it right. Like that's what you should be doing. But they're too worried about protecting themselves, so they don't care. That's why I could give a crap. So, I tell people all the time, like, dude,
tell me how you really feel, Scott.
Well, I'm healthier now than I've ever been due to my own self-study.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of teach that to people. I'm like, I know people see it's a lot of work, but this is your health. So, I think we all, as responsible and accountable adults, need to take some accountability here and do a little bit of self-study. Okay, guys, it's like you can't blame anybody but yourself here. If you are out there blindly reading articles all the time, read a bunch of articles, like see both sides of the equation and then test it on yourself and see what gives you a better result. Like that's what I do. Like the whole biohacking thing and everything else. Like now I'm geeking out more and more this year on gut biome and microbiome and gut health.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. Yeah. And like I'm really now reaching that level now because like my gut is fine because of my healthy lifestyle. But how many people, to your point, you brought up earlier about how sugar and creating the damaging and the inflammation, it's like, what do you think that's doing to your gut biome, right? We have healthy bacteria that needs to have a healthy balance in there.
And the medications that people are taking.
Right. All the pharmaceuticals.
Oh my gosh. The amount of people on proton pump inhibitors, the Nexiums, the acid reflux medications that have been on them for decades, and the amount of dysbiosis that that creates because you need the higher pH, you need the, sorry, lower pH, you need a more acidic stomach to help absorb nutrients. Oh, it's now, all that being said, if any of your listeners really do have esophageal issues and they've got tissue conformational changes, they probably need those proton pump inhibitors so that they don't dive into esophageal cancer. Sometimes
temporarily, right?
Sometimes once you've gotten those tissue changes, you have to be really proactive.
Yeah, but can't, like anything else, isn't it rebuildable? Can't you eventually, hopefully, turn this around, heal that?
I've not seen that as far as like Barrett's esophagus. As soon as the esophageal tissues change and they're reproducing in that way, and they're then it's kind of done. From what I understand, now it's been a long time since I've dived into that research more, but I want to make sure that people understand pharmaceutical industry, it exists for a reason. We need some of these medications sometimes. And sometimes the priority for some people is avoiding esophageal cancer. Let's deal with the microbiome in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, those things exist. However, every person that goes to the doctor with reflux, maybe we should dive into, well, first check, do you have the tissue changes in your esophagus? No. Okay, let's dive into your lifestyle. Let's dive into your diet. Let's see if we can manage this through lifestyle changes. Your GI tract is angry because it's not working correctly. Let's see if we can figure out how to get it working correctly rather than minimizing the reflux symptom.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that's how I get it. That's just kind of an aside. We were kind of going off on.
Well, this is all valuable information because even like I said, Dr. Jack Wolfson earlier, he was talking about how he's like, listen, there's pharmaceuticals that we really don't need, but we're just throwing them out there too. Like statins. He's anti-statin. He said, listen, I used to push statins. Mm-hmm. And he's like, in the end, the statin is not finding the root cause. You're just, heart doctors have gotten to the point where like, oh, everybody should be on a statin. Really? Yeah. Should you? Like, what is the root cause? No one, they're doing the 15-minute office screening and they become it's like a assembly line. The doctors have been trained, like you can't spend more than 10 to 15 minutes because you got to keep pumping through customers. So they're never taking the time to dive into deep root cause issues. Like that's why he's such an advocate for nutrition, thanks to his wife's influence. Like he's finally like, literally he says it, which I love it. He's like, I'm finally creating health care. And teaching
and
the power
that
of that.
Most, a lot of doctors, that's what they want to do, but then they get into the medical industry.
They're in the system.
They're in the system, and it's hard to fight against that. And fair enough to them, it's hard to fight against that. You have to work with the insurance companies. But to your point with the statin drugs, I had seen an interesting review article that ties back into the LDLs as well, and utilizing the statin drugs to reduce the LDL cholesterol, they were seeing in this now we have an aging population and that have been on these drugs for a long time, and we're seeing a higher incidence of neurodegenerative, earlier onset neurological decline, like dementias and Alzheimer's, and people who have been on these statin drugs. So they're theorizing, and I haven't been able to follow the research trail on this for a while, but they're theorizing that there is a neurological protective benefit to the LDL cholesterol.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, and so, then also look at. I'm guaranteeing if they were on those statins, then they were definitely probably following a low-fat diet. Which
at the time,
let's look at what is your brain made of? Like isn't it like 80%+ of your brain tissue is fat?
Yeah, we're all fat heads.
So it's like, hey, like, so what you're telling me here is that if we fuel our body with healthy fats, you might be actually getting your brain a little bit healthier too, which is like the control center for your entire body. Like, hello, like this, that's how powerful this stuff is. So that's why I'm a big supporter of Dr. Perlmutter, the Grain Brain, and all these other guys. And Dr. Sylvia Tara, who I've had on the show, she's the author of the Secret Life of Fat. Like,
that was an interesting, I followed some of her stuff after our first podcast.
Right?
It was very interesting.
I mean, she's got like 20 years as a biologist researching that stuff. So, and that's the beauty of this. Like there is, and to our listeners, guys, because we got to bring this show to a close here, respect your rest of your day and my day. I have another meeting coming up here in 2 minutes, but this is what it's about, guys. Like there is plenty of experts out there. There is plenty of people out there trying to make a difference and make a change like Aaron and like Dr. Sylvia Tara and all these other professionals we brought up here today. So the biggest goal here is like at least take the time to stop, listen, and consider reading something new or researching something new or listening to this podcast or sharing this podcast or going to check out Aaron or calling Mind of the Athlete. Like, guys, like, take action, man. Take accountability. Control what's happening next in your life. So that's just my little rant on that.
Well, fair enough. And, you know, one of the things that I tried so hard to build into with my practice, because, again, just touching back to circle back to the fear of food. People get so afraid of food, and I like to change that message. It's my passion, it's my goal to change that message to the power that food has to build health into our body and help people start to understand how they can use food to do that and to get away from all this fear-based messaging. Coconut oil is going to give you heart disease. It just scares people. And I understand that fear, but we've got to take a step back from that and learn how to empower ourselves with food rather than be afraid of it.
I think you just gave us our final words of the show.
Nice.
To rewind that, I think the biggest piece I took out of that was we need to stop the fear of food and find the power of food.
Yes.
And then obviously your tail end there is actually get that empowerment piece out of it too. But I love those words. I'm going to make sure those are in the blog article because those are great. So, which we always do anyway.
So, okay, very cool.
Is there anything else that we need to share as we close out the show for you today? I mean, is this right now as far as your messaging? Because we definitely got to get our follow up session in, and we got to get into the store. We got to do something live.
I really love that idea. I think that's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be powerful
because that's the empowerment. People can hear the stuff, they can read the articles, but when they go to the store and they're making their decisions, applying the information gets so difficult. That's where the rubber hits the road. So I love that idea. I can't wait to do it.
And you know what we're going to do it at?
Where?
The epitome of the false healthy halo, Whole Foods.
Okay, we can do that.
Because it's a healthy store, but there's a lot of false healthy halo stuff going on in that place. So we can have a fun in there.
Still a lot of sugar. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's okay because the word organic is on there, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna have fun with that.
Yeah, we are.
Well, so hang tight. I'll give you a proper goodbye here. So again, to our listeners, guys, she gave you the final words of the day. I mean, stop this fear of food and find the power of food. Get empowered and make these changes in your life. This is what we're all about here, okay? We're here to talk about health, business, and lifestyle. This is what Live the Fuel stands for. This is what Erin and her practices with Mind of the Athlete and everything else she's done in her 20-plus years of her experience. So again, thanks for listening to another Live the Fuel show. Keep living the fired up epic life. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Hey there, Live the Fuel fans. Quick commercial break. Before we close out the episode, just wanted to give you some extra tips and tricks before we send you on your way. So again, thank you again for listening to the Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a lot out of this recent episode. More importantly, please subscribe to this show if you haven't subscribed yet. Stay in touch. Get me some feedback. Submit a review on iTunes or Stitcher and get us the voice of you, the listener, so we can build this content back into the show and make sure that I'm actually taking you, the listener, into this design and future as Live the Fuel grows. So again, subscribe, submit a review, stay in touch. Heck, on that point, go visit livethefueltank.com. Livethefueltank.com. That will take you to the link to our private Facebook group community where you can join and I can stay more in touch with you going forward outside of the podcast world. All right, last quick little piece here for you guys, some extra value. One, go to livethefuel.com main page. You'll see on there we have our free resources guide. If you are looking for free content and not having to pay for it, consider getting on my email list. You click on the button, send me my copy, get your Super Sevens resources guide. There's over 21 of my favorite online resources that I built into this little electronic guide for you guys. There's no cost. It'll just be emailed to you just by hopping on my email. Again, just thank you for listening. I want to give you some value. Second piece of my little extra nuggets of knowledge, if you want to call it this, is go to the resources section on the site. In there, I have three columns, health, business, lifestyle. And two, right off the bat, that I want to make sure you guys are taking advantage of is number one, eatpillynuts.com. And number two, villacapelli.com. Their logos are on the site. You got a big bowl of nuts there. And you got a cool big V, Power V logo. Both of those, if you use the discount code FUEL, F-U-E-L, you will get 10% off at checkout. So take advantage of that, please, and thank you. And more importantly, there's other companies linked on there. My nutritional and health alignment with Isagenix since 2010. The Pure Vitamin Club company for their kick-ass magnesium B12 and an awesome multi-cap. There's some additional business resources on there. Number one, Singularis IT. I go mountain biking and road cycling with the founder. This is a legitimate IT company. I don't care where you are in the world, you can use their services. We're talking about serious white glove level services. I've moved all of my IT solutions over to them, and I outsource them regularly for any future and onboarding clients down the road. And lastly, but not leastly, David Studio. If you have no clue who this guy is, guess what? He is my new audio engineer. This is the guy I've been having making it happen behind the scenes. I found him through the Fiverr world. So if you search for David, D-A-V-I-D, Studio on Fiverr, you can track this guy down. But guess what? He's also on the Upwork platform. He's on the People Per Hour platform. You can search for him through his real name. I've never literally physically met this guy or talked to him in person. We have been just met through the online world. But if you search for E-M-I-N, that's I believe pronounced Emin, and Fikic, which is F as in Frank, I-K-I-C, you can search for him in Upwork, People Per Hour. Oh, more importantly, just go to Fiverr like I did. But if you are a podcaster or somebody just looking to get quality audio engineering, this is your guy. So again, guys, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks again for listening to Live the Fuel. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.